Have God's word with you this morning. Go ahead and open it up to the book of Philippians again. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want to read again from our passage. The pen of the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 21 down to verse 26. Paul writes, "For to me to live Christ, to die gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Oh Lord Jesus, as we do come to your word today, we want to just say again how hallelujah you have raised from the dead. Well, we know because of that, what we're about to read and think through today is the truth of how death can be a gain for us. It's because of your death and your resurrection. So, Lord God, encourage us today as believers, as we think about our desire to be with you. Lord God, we pray today as your people for anybody who is here, who's lost, who's never put their faith in you, Jesus. Well, today, will you open their eyes? Will you draw them to yourself? Will you bring them to true salvation? That is our heart's desire for your glory. Will you give you all the praise for what you do? It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You were here last Sunday. We took a break from the Gospel of Luke and began to look at this passage together. Last Sunday, my focus was on the Christian's perspective when it comes to life. And this Sunday, my focus is going to come back to this passage and have us look at what should be our perspective as Christians when it comes to death. Because here on this Easter Sunday, or this special Resurrection Sunday, as we think about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, I want us to think about how it should impact our perspective, our thoughts in regards to our own death. See, the foundation of our understanding about our own death must be the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul would not be able to truthfully say, as he does there in verse 21, that death is gain. Gain for me if Jesus had not died, if he had not been raised from the dead. You see, beloved, without the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins, without his resurrection from the dead, we have no hope. We have no justification. We have no hope of the forgiveness of our sins. We have no hope of life after death with God. Death would be a fearful reality for all of us. One, because we would know that death is coming one day. Two, we know that when it comes, judgment is coming. And three, we would know that the judgment would be an eternal hell and torment after death. There would be no hope. We would face death with hopelessness. We would be grieving for loved ones who have already died as hopeless. No hope for them. You see, beloved, without the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ, we would look at death as simply being this awful experience. And honestly, living life without hope, knowing death is coming, would be an awful existence in this life. Because how we have it now would be the best it would ever be for us. Thankfully, by God's grace, that's not reality for us as true believers in Christ. No, the reality for us as true Christians, because Jesus did die on the cross for our sins, because he was raised again on the third day. It is true, as Paul says there in verse 21, death is gain. As I pointed out last week, as Paul is writing these words at this very moment in his life, he is facing the reality of the possibility of death. He's in a prison. He's in a prison for the testimony of Jesus, testifying that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Savior, testifying that Jesus is the Redeemer. And he knows as he sits there waiting, if found guilty, he would be sentenced to death by execution. So as Paul sits in that jail cell or in that house arrest, he's waiting for the verdict. As we read through this passage and look at it for a moment, we're seeing that there are two strong desires in his heart, competing desires. And even he even says, if you look back for just a moment at the end of verse 22, he says, "And I don't know which to choose." We're going to talk about that. And last Sunday, we were talking about that first desire, a desire to live. Because when he looked at his life, he had a desire to live because, as he says there in verse 21, for me, when I think about life and I think about God allowing me to live my life longer, for me, my life and my living is going to be Christ. That was his desire to live. When life is about Christ, we also saw as we walked through these verses, it is about others. And more specifically, it is about other believers. It's about living for the cause of Christ. Verse 22, if I am to live on in the flesh, what does this mean? This means fruitful labor for me. And where's the labor he's talking about? He's talking about a fruitful labor even going back to the church at Philippi. It's about living, as he says, for the progress and the joy and the confidence of those fellow believers. He wanted their faith to grow. He wanted their confidence and their joy in Christ to increase. As he says there in verse 25, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me, I want it to be abounding in Christ Jesus. That is, if God says and allows me to live, I'm coming back to you, and my presence there with you is going to be for fruitful labor. And the labor I'm looking to do, the fruit I'm wanting to see produced, is I'm wanting to see your faith growing. I'm wanting to see your joy growing. I'm wanting to see your confidence in Christ growing. So when Paul says, for me to live is Christ, this is what's involved with that. You see, beloved, this is to be our perspective about life, our approach to life, that as long as God allows us to live in this flesh, as long as he allows us to be here, continue with us all, that should be our desire. See, Paul was overwhelmed by the grace and the salvation Jesus had shown him. So this is a desire that is very strong in his heart. You see, sitting there potentially on death row. But Paul had another strong desire stirring in his heart as he sat there in prison waiting for his sentence, waiting for the verdict. And that other desire was a desire to die. Maybe here's, I think, even a better way to put it. The two desires that Paul had competing in his heart. One was the desire to remain and live for Christ. The other desire that he had in his heart that was stirring and was very strong was a desire to depart. That is, to depart and go be with Christ. He had a desire to remain and live for Christ, or desire to depart and go be with Christ. As he puts it in In Romans chapter 14 and verse 8 and 9, here's how Paul saw life and death. He says, if we live for Christ. If we die for Christ. Christ is Lord of the living and Christ is Lord of the dead. That's how Paul saw life. That's how Paul saw death. And as he's sitting there, there's this strong desire in his heart. And that's why he says there, I don't know which to choose, because he says in verse 23, I'm hard pressed from both. Both of these desires that are going on in my heart. I'm being squeezed by these desires. And beloved, that's because when you look back at verse 21, Paul says, for me, if death is what comes next, if I never leave this prison, if this is where life ends for me, that is gain. That is a profit to me. For me, that's what it will be. So let's think about that statement for a moment. I mean, what would Paul gain? That is, what would he gain that he does not have at that very moment in his relationship with Christ? I mean, while he's still alive in this body, sitting in that jail cell, sitting in that house arrest, what aspect of his relationship with Christ does he not have at that very moment? He doesn't have the presence of Christ. He's not with Christ in that sense. And that's why, notice again, go back to verse 23. What's the desire that's pushing against him? That's just as strong in his heart? Of why there's a desire for him to possibly die? It's because he says they're having the desire to depart and be with Christ. Those two statements go together. Because he knows upon his departure, he's with Christ. That's what he knows. If I die, it is nothing but a gain for me, because as soon as I die, as soon as they execute me, as soon as the hammer comes down upon me and they take my life, I know at that very moment I'm going to depart and I get to go be with Christ. At the moment, he doesn't have that kind of presence with Christ. And he longs for it. He wants it. Let me show you this also. He writes something very similar. If you have your Bible, turn for just a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here again, the Apostle Paul writes, beginning in verse 6. He says, therefore, being always of good courage. And here's what we know, okay? Here's something we're supposed to know. That while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we are alive, our soul is here, it is with our body, which means we are absent from the Lord. We're not in the presence of the Lord where He is. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and here's what we prefer. We prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. See, he's really saying the same thing there. That there's this deep desire that should be in all of our hearts, where we long to be with Christ, where even in some sense what we would prefer is that we're just to go be with Christ. We would be at home. And we're at home with Christ. We'd be in the presence of Christ. Because here's what we also know, according to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8, and verse 38 and 39, that death can't separate us from the love of Christ. It can't separate us from Christ Himself. No, what death does is bring us into the presence of Christ, bring us more into the fullness of the love of Christ. Beloved, being with Christ. I want you to listen carefully for a moment.
Once we are with Christ, we will always be with Christ. Once we are with Christ, we will always be with Christ. Paul says there in 2 Corinthians, I would prefer to be absent from the body and to be at home present with Christ. I have this strong desire as I sit here under house arrest to depart, because I know when I depart, I'm going to get to go be with Christ. But I want to take it one step further and let you understand that Scripture teaches once we are with Christ, we will always be with Christ. If you recall, back in the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, Jesus has begun to tell a little more specifically to his disciples that he's going to leave. I'm going to leave you. And remember, their sorrow is filling their heart, and they're grieved about this. And he tells them in John 14, in the first three verses, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. If I leave, I'm going back to my Father, and while I'm there, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, you remember what he says? I will come again, and I will receive you to myself. Why? So that where I am, you will be also. Do you remember the thief on the cross? He was hanging there next to Jesus. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He's thinking about the future. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, today, not in the future, today you will be with me in paradise. Why? This man was about to die. Jesus was about to die. And Jesus saying, where I am, you will be. You'll be with me in paradise. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there the Apostle Paul is addressing grieving hearts of believers in the church at Thessalonica because they've had loved ones that have died, loved ones who love the Lord, loved ones who were in Christ. And Paul is comforting them, and he's reminding them. First, he's reminding them that their loved ones right then and there at that very moment were with Christ. They were with him. And when he came, they were coming with him. You see, once you're with Christ, you're always with Christ. When he comes, they come. He leaves, they leave. They're always with him. And that's why at the end in verse 17, he says, we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Oh, beloved, let it bring comfort to your heart. Once somebody is with Christ, they're always with Christ. When Christ comes, in the second coming, those who are there with Christ will come with him. We will always be with Christ. Where he is, we will be. Where he goes, we will go. We're always with him. And Paul longed for that. He longed for that. Because as we talked about last Sunday, when you walk through the book of Philippians, what did you find? What did we kind of point out there for just a moment? Paul said, I want the affections of Christ. Paul said, I want the attitude of Christ. Paul said, I want to live my life worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I want to have all the interest of Christ. I want to focus on Christ. I want to exalt Christ in my body, whether I'm living here or I'm dying. I just want to love Christ. I want to know Christ, gain Christ, follow Christ, learn the sufferings of Christ. I'm looking for Christ. I'm waiting for Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ is my life. But that's why we saw when Christ is our life, we don't live this pie in the sky and live with our heads up in the cloud. Paul said, Christ is my life, and that moves me to labor among God's people. But when Christ is your life like that, that's when you're just saying, Lord, if I have the opportunity,
If you're telling me potentially this time tomorrow, Paul would be saying, I could be in the very presence of Christ, I don't know which to choose when it comes to that. Because I love my Savior. And I want to be with my Savior. Think about it like this. When Paul says that death is gain, what does a believer gain when they die? I mean, immediately when they die, what do they gain? Well, we already see from his passage here, they gain the very presence of the Savior. And I've shown you that is for all eternity. That is, when a person dies, they take a departing, nonstop flight. There are no layovers. There is no purgatory. There's nothing else that needs to be suffered. There's nothing else that needs to happen. Paul said, if I die, I'm depart and I'm with Christ. Instantly, immediately. Paul also knew this, if I die, I gain the perfection of my soul for all eternity. And Paul also knew, if I die, I'm putting off this body of sin. Now, he's not going to get his glorified body till later. But he knows if I die, it is gain for me. You see, beloved, shouldn't there be this desire in our hearts right now? This longing to be with Christ? You see, I think this does tell us where our hearts are. It kind of tells us a little bit about who and what we're living for when we think about this desire. So when Jesus is your life, our life is about living for Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ. Our life is about looking and waiting and longing for Christ to come. Then when we look at death, we see it as a gain. And notice what Paul says. Go back to verse 23. Departing and being with Christ, he says, for me personally, is very much better. I mean, he can't say that any stronger. He didn't say it's a little better. It's a lot better. He says it is the best. The best thing for me personally that could happen is that I'm executed, because then when I'm executed, I get to depart and to go be with Christ. And for me personally, he says, that is very much better. That because Paul, nothing in this life came close to the joy and the benefits of being with Christ. As I thought about this week, I want to stop here for a moment. I want to make sure of something for you. So I want to make sure no one abuses that, wrongly uses what Paul is saying here. Because someone may could take that and say, Paul's saying, well, I don't know which to choose. And I see death would be very much better for me. And someone could take that and say, well, I'm thinking about taking my own life. It seems like Paul says that's very much better. You've misunderstood Paul. That's not what Paul's saying. First off, remember the context of this. When you go back up to verse 20, what Paul is saying, here's what I desire. Here's my earnest expectation. That even if I die, I want to exalt Christ in my body through death. I want to exalt Christ in my body through death. Beloved, please hear me on this. The taking of one's own life does not do that. The taking of one's own life is sin. Homicide is the murdering of someone else.
Suicide is the murdering of oneself. Both are murder and both are sin. That's not what Paul's saying here. Paul's not saying, boy, I wish I could choose to take my own life here. He's not. Paul has a strong desire to live. And secondly, look again at the context. Who is Paul living for? He says, I'm living for Christ. And who is Paul saying, here's who I want to die for. I want to die for Christ. The taking of one's life is not dying for Christ. It's really dying for self. And that's the opposite of what Paul's doing here. You see, Paul is basically saying that he would be dying faithful to and for the cause of Christ. He's going to live till his last breath for the cause of Christ. And if he's living till his last breath for the cause of Christ, then as you notice again the context of what Paul is saying here, Paul is saying, I'm going to put others first. Paul's not thinking about himself in that regard. He's thinking about Christ, and he's thinking about others. That's why in the end Paul says, look, here's what I know. What's more necessary for your sake is that I remain in the flesh. If Paul was just thinking about himself, he wouldn't care what this meant to anybody else. But he does care. And I want to say something to you from my heart as your pastor. And I say this from someone who's experienced it. Those left behind want you here. No matter what. It's never best for them. There's no way you can say it'd be more necessary for your sake that I'm gone this way. It's never the case. Never. We'd always want your presence in their life. So when Paul says there in verse 22, I don't know which to choose, or really he's saying, I don't know which to prefer. There's a part of me, I don't even know which one to root for, because there is this longing in my heart to be with Christ. As I thought about what Paul is saying here, listen carefully. Remember these words we sing? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. Life is always worth the living because he lives. You can face tomorrow because he lives. This was Paul's heart. But Paul also understood that if God, in this situation, brought the sentence down that he was guilty before the Roman court, he would exalt Christ in his death, and death would be a gain for him. You see, Paul did not see this as his decision. He saw this under the sovereignty of God. This would be God. My life's in God's hands. And if God so chooses at this point that I'm going to die, then I will die with grace and I will die for the honor of Christ. You see, we live our lives for Christ without fear. We live our lives for Christ without the fear of the results of death. Because we're justified in anticipating that the results of that death is we get to be with Christ. And that's all because of what Jesus did on the cross and God raising him from the dead. But now, beloved, I need to, again, just share with you my heart. And that is this: death is not a gain for everyone. Death is not a gain for everyone. Death is not very much better for everyone. For some people, death is a loss. For some people, death is very much worse. It's horrifying. It's terrifying. And I'm talking about the results of death. I'm not talking about the experience of death. And even here, I don't think Paul was saying, look, I'm longing for the experience of dying. That's not what he's longing for. He's longing for the results of it. But beloved, for some, and honestly for far too many, death is the very worst thing that could happen to a person. And they should be fighting to live as long as they can live, no matter how awful their life is, no how miserable or painful their life is, physically, financially, emotionally, family. Why? Because when death comes for them, for too many people in this world, when death comes, they lose. They lose the experience of God's common grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's goodness, God's kindness, God's patience. All that's over. It's over. For some, death is a loss because in that death they have lost the opportunity to be made right with God. See, there's no gain or profit for them. Instead, when they die, immediately they're in hell. A personal, conscious torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And ultimately, they will be in the eternal lake of fire. But I share that because there seems to be this continuous portrayal that almost no one is suffering on the other side of death. As though just about everyone who dies is at rest and at peace. And I just want you to understand from God's word, that's not true. Maybe for that moment, their body is at rest, but their soul isn't. Their soul is immediately in the Hades. Their soul is immediately in hell. And one day, they will be raised. Their body will be raised. And it will be joined back with their soul. And they will be judged at the great white throne judgment. And they will be thrown into the eternal lake of fire. The idea that everyone's at rest and at peace after death is not true. The idea that death is a gain for everyone is simply not true. And sadly and tragically, it's probably not true for most people who die. Why? Because they haven't trusted Christ. Say, well, who is it true for? As Paul's saying here, believers. True followers of Christ, Christians. It is true for everyone who comes through the narrow gate. Everyone who comes through Christ. Everyone who comes through Christ alone. As I was saying this morning in Sunday school, this is not true for anyone who believes a salvation or their justification is faith in Christ plus add anything else you want to add. You might just want to, I just want to add one thing. No. I want to add two. No. I want to add five. No. God says through faith in Christ alone. Again, this is what Paul came to understand in Philippians chapter 3. Paul was depending on all these things until he recognized it was all a liability to him. It was all garbage to him. The only hope he had was Christ. This is what one must believe. You see, we have to have faith in Christ. Faith in his life. That life, it's what God uses to provide the righteousness that you need. You have to have faith in his death. Because it's on that death when he's suffering and he's satisfying the wrath of God. He's taking our sins upon himself. You have to have faith in his resurrection. That declares
God is satisfied, declares he's the Son of God. See, it is by faith alone in Christ alone, because it's all of grace alone, because it's all for the glory of God alone. So I just ask you this morning, have you turned and trusted in him alone as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as your only hope? You see, that's why we gather here. We gather here not only this Sunday, but every Sunday as God's people to praise him, worship him for the salvation that Jesus has provided us through his life and death and resurrection. We come to celebrate the new life that we have in him. Rejoice in the victory we have over sin. Rejoice in the victory we have over Satan and death. Thus, we can look at death and say, death is a gain for me. It is a gain. And I can look at life and say, life is about Christ for me. That's what God desires. That's how important the death and the resurrection of Christ are. Without it, there is no life that really has meaning, and there is no death that really is gain. It's only through Christ. So I want to ask you to bow your heads for a moment. I want to ask you this day, have you put your faith in Christ? Have you truly come to see your sinfulness and the holiness of God, and the only thing God will accept is his Son? So put your trust in him. Rely upon him, him alone. For us as believers, let God's word encourage us to live for Christ. Let God's word encourage us to have a right understanding about death and take courage and encouragement from it and not live in fear of the results of death, but live in anticipation of it. Gracious God, would you just work in our hearts today? Oh Lord, let someone here who needs salvation truly put their faith in you, Jesus. Would you truly remind us we live for Christ? And that we look at death as gaining Christ. Let that set us free in how we live, how we worship. Oh Lord, bless your word for what we need here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.